Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, July 12th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
the Wall Street stock sell-off continues this morning.
The IEA says the worst of the energy crisis may be ahead.
We are tracking the latest developments in the Twitter Elon Musk saga.
And the January 6th committee focuses on far-right groups and what former President Trump knew about their plans.
Officials want people in New York City to mask up again indoors. Plus, funeral services were held today for former Japanese Prime Minister Abe. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. Max Scherzer pitched the Mets to a big win in Atlanta, and Pete Alonso will be in next week's Home Run Derby.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are lower this morning. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And S&P futures are down 21 points, Dow futures down 168, and NASDAQ futures down 63. The DAX in Germany's down 0.6%. The 10-year Treasury up 22/32, yield 2.90%, and the yield on the 2-year, 2.99%. And Bitcoin is at $19,760. Nathan.
Well, Karen, futures are adding to yesterday's losses, which saw all three major indexes fall. Hardest hit was the NASDAQ, which fell 2.25%. Still, Alan Zafran, co-CEO at IEQ Capital, says growth stocks may be the place to invest.
We are looking forward at a slower growing economy, given what's happening with the Fed, given what's happened with a more heightened inflationary environment. And so it is a setup for growth stocks to outperform value stocks looking forward for quite some time.
IEQ Capital's Alan Zafran says the upcoming earnings season will be key for the markets.
Well, Nathan, the Wall Street sell-off spread to Asia overnight. Both Japan's Nikkei and Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index dropped more than 1%. We get the recap from Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis in Hong Kong.
Asian stocks fell on concerns over the economic outlook, high inflation, and China's issues with COVID. The tech sector struggled, sparking weakness in Japan, Hong Kong, and China. The dollar pushed higher, up near the levels that we saw in the 2020 panic over COVID. The euro has edged closer to parity with the greenback sapped by Europe's energy crisis and fears of recession. Treasuries gained, taking the 10-year yield well below 3%. Bonds also rallied in Australia. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thank you. Well, oil is lower this morning, down 2.25% for West Texas Intermediate at $101.75 a barrel. A COVID resurgence in China is adding to concerns about a global economic slowdown. Fatih Birol, executive director at the International Energy Agency, says the worst of the energy crisis may be ahead.
The world has never witnessed such a major energy crisis. It is interwoven by many factors, including the geopolitics. And I believe we might not have seen the worst of it yet.
IEA Executive Director Fatih Birol says this winter in Europe will be, quote, very, very difficult.
Well, investors are closely watching for the release of June's Consumer Price Index tomorrow, Nathan. The White House is keeping an eye on it, too. Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says the inflation data will be highly elevated, but she also notes it's backward-looking.
June CPI data is already out of date because energy prices have come down substantially this month and are expected to fall further.
White House spokeswoman Karine Jean-Pierre says food and gas prices continue to be impacted by the war in Ukraine. Economists surveyed by Bloomberg expect June prices to jump 8.8% compared to last year. That would be a fresh 40-year high.
Well, Karen, we continue to follow the saga between Elon Musk and Twitter. Shares fell more than 11% yesterday for the social media company. Let's get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Twitter lawyers are calling Elon Musk's termination of his $44 billion $1 billion deal to buy the company invalid and wrongful. They wrote it in a letter to his attorneys, and it's a preliminary step in the legal battle over the deal. Now, Musk agreed to buy Twitter for $54.20 a share back in late April, but he terminated the agreement because he believes Twitter misrepresented user data, claiming the number of spam bots on the platform is much higher than the 5% the company has disclosed. Bloomberg sources say Twitter aims to file suit early this week, and the agreement specifies any legal dispute over the deal must be heard in Delaware. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Well, one other note on the world's richest man this morning. Elon Musk says Donald Trump should, quote, sail into the sunset and forget about running for president again. In a series of tweets, Musk claimed that Florida Governor Ron DeSantis would easily defeat President Biden. He also told his 100 million followers that there was too much drama when former President Trump was in office.
Well, meantime, Karen, testimony on last year's attack at the U.S. Capitol rolls on in Washington. Up next, the House January 6th committee focuses on the role of extremists in the insurrection. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
Committee member Jamie Raskin says it will continue building on the case that Donald Trump had a hand in trying to overthrow the results of the election and led to the events that day on January 6th. Raskin says it will focus on what's become known as Team Crazy, a group of people around Trump, Sidney Powell, Rudy Giuliani, among them. Raskin says one of the meetings was unlike anything in American history. Now, the committee has also announced postponement of Thursday's hearing because it is getting so much new information on White House ties. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And thank you. In corporate news this morning, San Francisco-based Gap has fired its CEO. Sonia Syngal was dismissed after 2.5 years on the job. And we get the story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The apparel company is struggling to leave operational challenges behind it. Chairman Bob Martin is taking over immediately as CEO on an interim basis. Gap shares are down 50% this year, compared with a 30% drop for the S&P 500 retailing index. Syngal took over in early 2020, right before COVID roiled the business and demand. Prior to that, she was in charge of the company's Old Navy brand. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thank you, Charlie. And job cuts are coming at Microsoft. The layoffs affect less than 1% of the workforce and span a variety of groups, including consulting and customer and partner solutions. Microsoft says the cuts were not spurred by economic factors, but in May, the company slowed hiring in its Windows and Office groups. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. It's now 5:07 on Wall Street. We are at 70 degrees in Central Park and looking at 20-minute delays on the upper level of George Washington Bridge. Use the lower. More coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. The Department of Health is continuing to urge New York City residents to wear masks in all public indoor settings and in crowded areas outdoors because of an uptick in COVID. It comes as the latest Omicron variant, BA.5, has become the dominant strain in the U.S. This New Yorker says people got lax about masking.
I think the city is, the government's going to have a hard time getting people back into masks.
Meanwhile, about 2 out of 3 people in the U.S. are fully vaccinated. Harvard Medical School professor Dr. John Brownstein says the evolution of variants unresponsive to immunity from previous infection means we are likely going to have to give up on the idea of herd immunity.
You're seeing this virus evolve quicker and quicker, and we'll probably see another variant in the fall. So the main question really is, can we avert really serious outcomes like death and hospitalizations?
Epidemiologist Dr. John Brownstein is also the chief innovation officer at Boston Children's Hospital. Police in New York City are looking for a man they say is targeting homeless people in a string of stabbing attacks. The latest victim, a 28-year-old woman, attacked early yesterday. Police say the same man can be seen on surveillance cameras in all 3 locations where homeless people have been stabbed in the last week. The first stabbing was on July 5th. A 34-year-old man resting on a bench was stabbed and later died from his injuries. 3 days later, a 59-year-old homeless man was stabbed in the abdomen. Japanese people have said goodbye to former Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. A family funeral was held at a temple days after his assassination that shocked the nation. Abe, the country's longest-serving prime minister, who remained influential even after he stepped down 2 years ago, was gunned down Friday during a campaign speech. The first image from NASA's new space telescope is the deepest view of the universe ever captured. The image from the James Webb Space Telescope was unveiled at the White House. President Joe Biden.
Light from the oldest galaxies, the oldest documented light in the history of the universe, from over 13 billion, let me say that again, 13 billion years ago.
Today, four more galactic shots will be released. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thank you. Almost 5:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stanshaw.
Good morning, Nathan. The Mets are paying Max Scherzer $43 million a year. They are doing that for games like last night. In Atlanta, Mets lead over the Braves once 10.5 games had dwindled to 1.5. Thanks to Atlanta's 29-8 record since June 1st, they have the best offense in the National League. Scherzer shut them down. Allowed only one hit over the first six innings, struck out 9. Scherzer and the Mets beat the Braves 4-1.
You want to play good baseball, especially this time of year. They're a great team over there, and you want to come out there and play your best baseball. When you can collect wins against them, that's kind of a measuring stick win, and it's a good feeling. So, but like you said, we're in one game here in July, but we got to go out there and play, great month of July.
And it's got a home run from Luis Guillorme, RBI double from Pete Alonso. Pete announced he'll go for the home run derby three-peat. He's never not won it. The winner in 2019 and last year, they didn't have it in 2020. The Braves' Ronald Acuna will be one of his competitors next Monday in Los Angeles. Rest of the field not yet known. Yankees host the Cincinnati Reds tonight. The Reds just swept Tampa Bay. The Rays last night beat the Red Sox 10-5. As the British Open gets ready to tee off Thursday at St. Andrews, still much talk about the new LIV Tour, with word that the antitrust division of the Justice Department is investigating whether the PGA Tour used anti-competitive practices against the LIV Tour. The PGA says it expected this and is confident there was no wrongdoing. John Stashauer, Bloomberg Sports, Nate.
All right, John, thanks. S&P futures down 21 points. Dow futures down 176. NASDAQ futures down 59 points ahead of tomorrow's CPI data that the White House already says will be highly elevated. More on what the White House has to say about inflation next. Bloomberg Washington correspondent Joe Matthew is coming up. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by the New York Community Trust. Your name will live on as a champion of the causes you care about for years to come through a charitable bequest to the New York Community Trust. Learn more at philanthropist.nyc.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks and U.S. stock index futures are falling this morning as the dollar and sovereign bonds rise, a pattern highlighting pervasive unease about the economic outlook amid high inflation and China's struggles with COVID. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 21 points, Dow futures down 175, and NASDAQ futures down 57. The DAX in Germany is down 0.6%. The 10-year Treasury up 20/32nds, yield 2.91%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.98%. NYMEX crude oil is down 2.8% on $2.88 at $101.24 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.1% of $1.60 at $1733.50 an ounce. The euro won against the dollar. The British pound 1.1821. And the yen is at 137.20. Looking at Bitcoin this morning, down more than 3% at $19,770. And today we are watching for a report on small business optimism out at 6 o'clock Wall Street time, and PepsiCo among companies scheduled to report earnings. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Another public hearing today by the Congressional Committee investigating the deadly January 6th insurrection. This hearing will focus on the involvement of white supremacist hate groups in the attack on the Capitol and feature testimony by former White House counsel Pat Cipollone, whom investigators say corroborates former White House aide Cassidy Hutchinson. People in Japan have bid their final goodbye to former Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. A family funeral was held at a temple days after his assassination that shocked the nation. In baseball, the Mets won, the Red Sox, A's, and Giants lost. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. It's 519 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Investors are waiting closely for the consumer price data that's coming out tomorrow for the month of June. The White House is watching for it as well and already warning that it expects the June consumer prices to be highly elevated. Let's head over to the nation's capital. Lots going on there. So we're pleased to be joined now by Joe Matthew, Bloomberg Washington correspondent, host of Sound on Bloomberg Radio. Joe, good morning. Sounds morning, like the sir. White House is really trying to get out in front of tomorrow's inflation data based on what we heard from the White House press secretary yesterday.
We saw this a month ago as well. Try to say, hey, look, this is going to be tough. Remember, they were trying to delineate the difference for the reporters in the briefing room who are not mostly financial reporters and for people in their living rooms, the difference between headline and core inflation. It's going over the heads of a lot of people. This time around, highly elevated, to your point, was the word from, or the phrase from the press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, who said the reading as well was already out of date. Now, that's really where the White House is going here. Look, Nathan, it's going to be bad, but guess what? It's already out of date. It's a rear view looking indicator, and we know that prices have come down a bit since this was taken. But of course, if you do this for a living like you do, Nathan, you note that all economic data is already out of date.
Right.
And by its own nature.
Absolutely. And it raises the question as we try to look forward here, what the White House is doing about it. We also heard from Karine Jean-Pierre saying that the president has been laser focused on getting prices down. That's also a message that we've been hearing for the last couple of months.
Yeah. And we hear it just about every day from most of his surrogates who are out there, cabinet secretaries and the president himself. You could ask them something about Christmas, Nathan, whatever, come up with any, the answer will be preceded by just a reminder that this president is laser focused on inflation. It is his top domestic priority, and that's partly why he's getting on an airplane tonight to go to the Middle East in an attempt to secure more oil resources. But of course, energy is only part of this inflation story, and we're going to see that come to bear in the CPI report.
Is that really going to be the focus of what President Biden is looking for when he heads to Saudi Arabia? I mean, a lot of the critics of the president have been saying he's going hat in hand more energy.
And the White House has been careful to try to manage the messaging around this. Look, he is clearly going to be looking for more oil output, but the White House is framing this as more of a security trip. He's going to Israel first. He's going to visit the West Bank, then he gets on an airplane and flies to Jeddah, and he'll be asking that all OPEC members increase production. But look, if you read Bloomberg, if you have a terminal, you know that Saudi Arabia and the UAE are the only members of OPEC with any real spare capacity, and there are questions about that. Not just their ability to pump more, but say we get a whole bunch more crude, we got a gusher, Nathan. It's only part of the story because U.S. refineries are, of course, already at 95% capacity. So it's unclear that we'd be able to do a lot with that oil to lower gas prices.
The time we have left, Joe, we have another January 6th hearing coming up later on this afternoon. It's going to be focused on extremist groups. Give us a little more of a setup.
Extremist groups like the Proud Boys, like the Oath Keepers, the members of this committee, Democrats and Republicans, are hoping to try to start connecting the dots, the convergence that Congressman Jamie Raskin has talked about. We're just not clear, Nathan, on whether this is going to be directly from the White House, through some sort of back channels, or indirectly, a convergence that just happened to take place because people were reading the president's tweets. That's what we have yet to learn.
How much are we expecting former White House counsel Pat Cipollone's closed-door testimony from last week to factor in?
This would be a big part of the hearing, of course. They're not going to see it in long form, but like we have in other interviews, other testimony, they'll use clips to corroborate what we heard from witnesses like Cassidy Hutchinson, knowing that Cipollone was in the room for a lot of those really outrageous events that she described in her recent testimony.
And we've also gotten word in our last 30 seconds here that the next hearing after today has been postponed. Is
That's
part
right.
of that because of the Steve Bannon situation?
It may well be. Look, this was supposed to be in prime time on Thursday night. This was going to be the big finale. It has been postponed. We're not sure exactly when it's going to take place, likely in the next week. But yes, Donald Trump cleared Bannon to testify, giving up executive privilege in this case that could lead to some pretty dramatic testimony. Trump wants someone on that panel, Nathan, or testifying before that committee to come to his defense and thinks Bannon's the one to do it.
Joe Matthew, Bloomberg Washington correspondent, and of course, much more to come on Sound On every weekday on Bloomberg Radio, 5 p.m. Wall Street time. We'll be checking back with Joe as well later on in this program here on Bloomberg Daybreak. Looking ahead to the market open this morning, stocks are poised for more losses. Right now, S&P futures are down 23 points. Dow futures down 188. NASDAQ futures down 66. The 10-year Treasury up 19 32nds. Yield 2.91%. Yield on the two-year even higher, 2.99%. The euro 1.0005 against the dollar. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Chance for afternoon showers and thunderstorms today. Some of them could be strong as we head up near 90 degrees. Near 90 again tomorrow. Upper 80s by Thursday. Right now, 70 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are lower, adding to yesterday's losses, which saw all three major indexes slump. Mike Vogel, saying chief investment officer at Cap Trust, says at this point, it's unclear how markets are pricing in a recession.
This recession has been so anticipated that it's hard to believe the market hasn't discounted most of it. Maybe the surprise will be that it's really, really a negative and difficult and deep recession. We don't think so. It also could be that we don't really hit a recession. We're like a stone skipping off the top of the pond and moving on and back up again. That's the question, I think. And I think we're going to know a lot more about that as we head into earnings season later this week and then the next couple of weeks.
Mike Vogelzang at CapTrust says forward guidance from companies will be watched closely over the next few weeks.
Now, the Wall Street sell-off is spreading overseas, Karen. Japan's Nikkei and Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index both dropped more than 1% overnight over concerns of inflation and COVID in China. Oil is moving lower as well. Checking prices now, NYMEX crude's down 2.7% at $101.31 a barrel. Brent is down 2.4% at $104.54.
Well, investors are looking ahead to the release of June's Consumer Price Index tomorrow, Nathan, and so is the White House. Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says prices continue to be impacted by the war in Ukraine.
We got here with the increase of gas prices and food prices because of Mr. Putin's war in Ukraine.
White House spokeswoman Karine Jean-Pierre says the latest inflation data will be elevated, but also notes it's backward looking.
Well, we're continuing to follow the saga between Elon Musk and Twitter this morning, Karen, after shares of Twitter fell 11% yesterday. Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Twitter lawyers are calling Elon Musk's termination of his $44 billion deal to buy the company invalid and wrongful. They wrote it in a letter to his attorneys, and it's a preliminary step in the legal battle over the deal. Now, Musk agreed to buy Twitter for $54.20 a share, but he terminated the agreement, claiming the number of spam bots on the platform is much higher than the company disclosed. Bloomberg sources say Twitter aims to file suit early this week. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. And sticking with corporate news, job cuts are coming at Microsoft. Layoffs are affecting less than 1% of its workforce, and the company says cuts were not spurred by economic factors. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 533 on Wall Street, 70 degrees in Central Park. Construction has 8th Avenue closed from 44th to Columbus Circle. More coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. The January 6th committee is preparing to highlight how violent extremist groups answered what one lawmaker says was Donald Trump's siren call to come to Washington and attack the Capitol. The panel is set to convene today. The committee is probing whether extremist groups coordinated with White House allies ahead of the violence. Police in New York City are looking for a man they say stabbed a 28-year-old homeless woman early Monday. They say the suspect is behind similar attacks in the past week, including one that was fatal. Police say they have video and photos of the same man at all three locations. The latest Omicron variant, BA.5, has become the dominant strain in the U.S. as COVID cases increase. Cities like New York and Los Angeles are asking people to mask up indoors and in crowded areas. This New Yorker says, though, masking is not enough to avoid COVID.
People should remember, even more important is washing your hands. That's actually as important, if not more important, than the masking.
Health officials across the nation say the U.S. is still averaging about 100,000 cases a day. A family funeral was held today for Japan's former Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. A motorcade, including a hearse, slowly drove by a packed crowd to the funeral. This man was among the crowd of mourners.
Mr. Abe is one of the greatest prime minister in the Japanese history. And a lot of people look up to him, a lot of people. And we're so sad that we lost him.
Only Abe's widow, close family members, and senior party leaders, including Prime Minister Fumio Kishida, attended the service. The chief judge of New York's Court of Appeals says she will step down after more than 6 years presiding at the state's highest court. Judge Janet DeFiore, who is 66, says she will leave at the end of August and move on to the next chapter of her professional life. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Michael, thank you. 5:35 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stachow.
Thanks, Nathan. The Mets went down to Atlanta, well aware that 15 of their last 76 games are against the team that's not only the defending World Series champs, but the hottest team in MLB, 29-8 since June 1st. Mets still in first place, but their lead over the onrushing Braves just a game and a half. That's the smallest since mid-April. Thankfully, for the series opener, the Mets had Max Scherzer on the mound. Pitched seven innings, allowed only one run, three hits, struck out nine. Mets beat the Braves 4-1, so Scherzer, two starts since missing 7 weeks, and he's allowed only one run. He was asked the advice he gave to his younger teammates.
Play off the adrenaline. You know, when you get adrenaline, play off it. You know, don't be shy away from it. Bring it on. This is what you play the game for. You want to be in these situations. You want to be facing the best teams in the league. You want to be in races. You know, you got to rise to the occasion and match it. So to have a atmosphere like this tonight, playing in this type of environment, it's only good to continue playing this and feed off.
Pete Alonso, one of four Mets named to play next week's All-Star game in L.A., and Alonso announced he'll also be in the Home Run Derby next Monday. He's won the last two. Yankees only once this season have lost three games in a row off the back-to-back blown leads in Boston. The Yanks are home tonight to play the Cincinnati Reds. The NBA expected to make official today that the play-in tourney that's been used the last two seasons will become a permanent part of the postseason. Four teams in each conference vying for the last two spots that then goes into the first round. Denver Broncos have new owners. It was revealed that part of the new ownership group, former National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice. John Stachauer, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thanks, John. 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
New York City's multifamily developments face an unsettled future following the expiration of a tax incentive for affordable housing. The 51-year-old program expired in June when lawmakers failed to renew or replace it. Dow Jones reports developers are scrambling to complete rental projects or build other types of properties. 30 nonprofits in New Jersey are expected to get grants totaling nearly $18 million. The money will support the state's restaurant industry while battling hunger at the same time. It's the third phase of its Sustain and Serve New Jersey program. Cartena Capital, a Connecticut hedge fund, committed $8.5 million to support Elon Musk's proposed acquisition of Twitter. The Connecticut Post reports the fund is staying quiet after the world's richest man announced last week that he would abandon his bid to buy the social media platform. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thanks, Ed. 538 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio's on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
Steve POTUS. And on 1010 Winds in New York, we're talking about Warner Brothers Discovery looking to resume a deal with Amazon to get it to distribute the HBO Max streaming service.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. The International Energy Agency says the squeeze on energy supplies may get worse.
I'm Luis Mateo, and on KMOX in St. Louis, I'll be reporting on an electric vehicle maker tightening its belt.
I'm Caroline Hepcorn, Bloomberg DAB, Digital Radio in London. We've been reporting on warnings from the International Energy Agency that the worst of the energy crisis may be yet to come.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting Rivian Automotive plans hundreds of layoffs.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. Sympathy and outrage over last week's shocking assassination of former Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe contributed to the sweeping victory of his Liberal Democratic Party in recent upper house elections. However much he owes the former Prime Minister, though, Japan's current leader, Fumio Kishida, must now find his own path. That will mean, for example, fleshing out his own economic vision for Japan. Kishida has called for a fairer and more inclusive new form of capitalism that can tackle inequality, in contrast to Abe's focus on growth. Ultimately, Kishida will need to implement tough reforms that even Abe couldn't manage, including making changes to Japan's rigid, seniority-based employment system. Japan would not be the country it is today had it not been for Abe's vision and drive. Kishida can best respect Abe's legacy by forging his own. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
Listen for Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPINGO. S&P futures down 26 points. Dow futures down 211. NASDAQ futures down 76 points. 10-year Treasury yield 2.92%. 2-year close to 3%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, partly sunny today, but we could see some strong thunderstorms this afternoon on our way near 90 degrees. Sunshine near 90 tomorrow, upper 80s, and chance for an afternoon shower Thursday. Right now, 70 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures falling as the dollar and sovereign bonds rise, a pattern highlighting pervasive unease about the economic outlook amid high inflation and China's struggles with COVID. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down about 29 points, Dow futures down 234, and NASDAQ futures down 77. The DAX in Germany is down 0.9%. The 10-year Treasury up 20/32nds, yield 2.91%. The yield on the 2-year is at 3%. NYMEX crude oil is down 2.5% on $2.57 at $101.52 a barrel. COMEX gold is little change at $1,732.20 an ounce. The euro right at 1.0004 against the dollar. British pound 1.1818 and the yen 137.16. Bitcoin this morning down more than 4% at $19,560. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. The January 6th panel holds another public hearing today. It is expected to explore whether extremist groups worked in coordination with the White House allies in an attempt to overthrow the result of the presidential election through a political coup and the mobilization of an armed, violent mob. President Biden is set to meet with Mexico's president at the White House today. Later, President Biden is looking for cheaper oil prices on his Middle East trip this week, which will include a stop in Saudi Arabia. In baseball, the Mets won, the Red Sox A's, and Giants lost. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. We're coming up to 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak on what looks like a risk-off Tuesday morning. We are joined now by Ivy Jack, head of equity research at Northstar Asset Management. Ivy, good morning. Futures continue to fall, and we're watching for euro-dollar parity this morning. What is your read on this market?
Thank you, Nathan. I think like everyone else, we are waiting to see what happens. There are a lot of puts and takes going on. I mean, I will say, first of all, as I'm thinking about going into earnings season, I'm mindful that the pandemic is still with us. This will be the first set of results where I think we have a lot of the bad news that we've been anticipating. We will get a chance to really see how it impacts company earnings and whether or not margins are really going to come under pressure. So I'm looking forward to starting off the week with the banks reporting this week to see, you know, what they're saying about consumers, what lending looks like. But I think this is going to be a very telling quarter for all of us.
Is there a concern for you that there's more bad news to come? I mean, we've heard from the head of the International Energy Agency saying the worst of the energy crunch isn't over. Well, the White House is saying that the inflation data we're going to get tomorrow is backward looking. They're hoping for more optimism.
I think this is the first quarter where we're going to begin to see the full effect of what has happened with the war in Ukraine, the impact of higher energy prices, how it kind of has worked its way through the system. I also think we're now beginning to see that demand is cooling as well. You know, we have higher mortgage interest rates. So again, this is the first quarter where a lot of the bad news that we were anticipating, we should start to actually see in the results of corporate earnings. So I think that's what really makes this quarter unique compared to past quarters, is we'll get to see the impact and also to get to see if, you know, margins are impacted. I will say I was really surprised that companies were still able to pass on a lot of higher costs to consumers. I don't know if they're going to be able to do that this quarter. So there's still a lot for us to learn.
Are you looking for pretty strong downward revisions to the outlook for profit margins then?
I definitely am. And I mean, I think I've started, well, at least for the companies that I currently cover and I'm looking at, I've started seeing it already that earnings are coming down. And I think they're going to have to come down more than what we're already seeing.
What kind of catalyst do you think this week's inflation data is going to be for markets?
Wow. Catalyst. I think it's going to give, honestly, the Fed more comfort to continue raising interest rates. That's something else that I think I'm not really sure that has been fully appreciated, the impact that that is going to have on equity markets. So I really think, like I said, in terms of catalysts, there are going to be a lot of things that probably come out that we haven't even anticipated because there's so many things that are going on and coming together in this particular moment in time.
So when we hear from someone like Kansas City Fed President Esther George, who was warning that raising rates too fast could force the Fed or cause the Fed to oversteer, you're thinking that that doesn't hold much weight with the rest of the committee?
Oh, I mean, I think right now, look, we just got the jobs report. You know, we got 370,000 jobs. That's still pretty strong. So I think that in and of itself tells us that the labor market is holding up pretty well. And I think if you're the Fed, you want to try to get this done as soon as possible. So you're going to try to raise interest rates as much as you can, as fast as you can, so that you can back off. So with that being said, and on top of that, I'm expecting for inflation to come out higher than it was last month. And so I think, again, that is going to allow the Fed to get a little bit more aggressive. So right now, I think, you know, we should be bracing ourselves for higher interest rates, perhaps higher than we anticipated. And on top of that, I think, you know, a labor market that has held up really well gives the Fed ammunition to keep moving forward.
Thanks for this, Ivy. Great having you on with us this morning. Ivy Jack, head of equity research at Northstar Asset Management. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street, and now we go to a story we are watching this morning, brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Now, here's a legal story we're following with Elon Musk may have decided he doesn't want to buy Twitter after all, but he can't just walk away from the $44 billion deal. Twitter said it will take Musk to court to compel him to go through with the agreement. And if history is a guide, the odds are in Twitter's favor. For more, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to Eric Talley, a professor at Columbia Law School.
Eric, I believe a few weeks ago you predicted that Musk would try to walk away from the deal.
Yeah, he was making sounds that he was trying to figure out a way to walk away from the deal. And most of the behavior that has been publicly observable was completely consistent with it. The theory about, you know, his concern over spam or bot accounts set into motion what evidently has been a back and forth in which Musk and his representatives had made demands for more and more information. And at some point, you know, Twitter must have said, no, that's enough information. We're not going to give you any more. We're not going to give you information along certain lines that you've requested. And that in part seems to have precipitated the letter that his lawyer filed on Friday. And so that behavior in some ways is what you would expect from someone who's trying to figure out a way to walk away from a deal. And, you know, there was a part of the merger agreement that he is quite clearly now trying to seize upon that requires Twitter to comply with reasonable requests to give information to Musk and his representatives. And if they unreasonably refuse to give him access to that information, that could constitute a breach of the contract. So I think that is effectively the course that most people, myself included, thought he was setting himself on, and that appears to have been correct.
So Musk is claiming that Twitter's failure to hand over specifics on the number of bots amounts to a material adverse effect under the contract. But haven't Delaware courts been reluctant to find that and to allow people to walk away from mergers?
Neither the Delaware courts nor these provisions themselves are incredibly generous about giving people the ability to walk away. Until a couple of years ago, for example, although many buyers had tried to use this language to walk away from a deal, none had succeeded. Now, one finally succeeded a couple of years ago, but even in that case, it was a fairly egregious form of fraud. And so the odds, just from a case law perspective, just don't favor Musk. And based on the language of the deal and what we know that's in the factual record thus far, I think Twitter would have a very good chance at getting a specific performance decree, which is not just an order to pay damages, but an order for Elon Musk to close the transaction.
And that's Eric Talley, a professor at Columbia Law School, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview, plus analysis of the latest legal news, by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcast. Attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal at BLawGo. And futures this morning falling, with S&P futures down about 30 points. Dow futures down 241. A NASDAQ futures down 81. 10-year Treasury up 21 30 seconds. Yield 2.91%, and the yield on the 2-year 2.99%. And NYMEX crude oil down 2.4%. It's at $101.55 a barrel. We get more on the markets straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, and a check on all the business headlines and the news you need to start your day as well. This is Bloomberg.